You know, it's been a week to the day that the time change happened, and maybe because I've gotten older, but I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I'm not used to it. I get up in the morning now, and it's darker than what it was, and it's a bother. It's a bother. It's a lie, you know? Oh, yeah, you get more. No, you don't. They just shifted the clocks. Tell you what, just open a different time instead of changing the clock, you know? I like my phone for a number of things. It has this awesome little flashlight, you know? So I have to use that more now when I take Momo out early in the morning, because I usually take her out between 5 and 5:30 in the morning. Then I come over here and I do my little workout. This is my pseudo gym here, by the way, if you didn't know that, but now you know that. Anyway, I have to go around with my flashlight, and you know, it's a good flashlight. It's pretty bright, it's LED, and it does the job well enough, but its coverage and its range is fairly limited. I mean, it is a light on my cell phone, you know? So it's good for dog walking, but when it comes to something like maybe a search and a rescue, no way. You know, I'm not going to be able to use that. Thankfully, Jesus' light is bright enough for a search and a rescue. So let's talk about that some today. Let's talk about Jesus as the light of the world. And to do that, we want to go ahead and start by reading from our main text today from John chapter 8. And so if you want to follow along, our main text that we're going to be in is John chapter 8 and verses 12 through 20. And really, we're just going to primarily focus on verse 12, but, you know, verses 12 through 20. Starting in verse 12, we read that when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his time had not yet come. Okay, so let's go back and look at what Jesus said in verse 12, which, you know, if we were going to talk about our main text, that's really pretty much it. There Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, think about what Jesus just said there. Jesus is not saying he's holding a light, or he has a light, or that even he's the way to the light. Instead, he says quite plainly that he is the light. Okay, he is the light. So what do we know about light and Jesus that makes that a true statement? In other words, what is it that light does? Well, first, light reveals. Again, think about it. Light enables us to see things that were there all along, but because of the darkness, we couldn't see them. And I think about walking around when it's dark in the middle of the night and stumbling over stuff. If you had the light on, you wouldn't do that, right? All right, darkness conceals, but light reveals. So without light, you can't see anything. You really can't. It was C.S. Lewis who once said, I believe in Christ like I believe in the sun. Not only because I see it, because by it all things are seen. The Apostle Paul says it this way over in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 13 and 14. He says, but everything is exposed by the light, becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. Light, besides revealing, also gives life. Have you ever heard of SAD? I don't mean sad, but I mean sad. It's S-A-D, seasonal affective disorder. Sometimes it happens to people more in the north than in the south, and definitely in places like Alaska. People in Alaska know all about seasonal affective disorder because winter is a pretty tough time for them because the sun often disappears for long periods of time. It's got to do with the Earth's axis and all this stuff like that. And that's because, you know, what happens is without that light, you get this depression setting in. And again, that's because light affects our biological clocks. That's why this time change is really a frustrating thing for a lot of people. All right, it triggers in our brain sensations of color, and it supplies energy for things to grow. And that's because light is necessary for life itself. And when it comes to Jesus, the Apostle John wrote this over in John chapter 1 and verse 4. John wrote, in him, in Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of men. And so while some people struggle with seasonal affective disorder during the winter season, all of us have sin affective disorder. And that is truly sad. But we should be glad. And no, I don't have an acronym for that. But, you know, it sort of rhymes. So anyway, but that's because of the light of Jesus that frees us from our sins. All right, light reveals and light gives life. All right. Light also scatters darkness. Think about it. If there's light, then there is no darkness. Now, when we talk about darkness in the Bible, what we're usually talking about is a metaphor for things like sin and spiritual blindness and death. For example, over in John chapter 1 again, this time in verse 5, we're told that the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And that doesn't mean that darkness can think or understand, right? But in the context, it means that the people who, even though they had heard and seen Jesus and quite even possibly touched Jesus, they still didn't believe him to be the Messiah. And so they remained in the dark spiritually and in the darkness in sin. If only they'd open up and let the light come in and scatter the darkness that they were in. Light also gives warmth. Now, I haven't tested this in part because I don't know anyone with an igloo. But it's my understanding that one small candle, if it's properly reflected inside an igloo, can raise the temperature of that igloo from below freezing to over 45 degrees. That's a lot of warmth. Now, in the Bible, light is sometimes related to warmth. And we're not necessarily talking about temperature, though, but we're talking about God's love. And it's a spiritual warmth. For example, over in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 7, we read that light is sweet. It is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. I don't know about you, but I love coming out and seeing the sun. And it just... it's invigorating. Just one more in this section. Light provides guidance. Maybe it's walking around your home late at night or early in the morning. And, you know, again, it's not always that easy to walk in the dark. But somewhere, maybe there's a light, like a little night light over on the wall, and you know where that is on the wall. So by that light, you can guide yourself around your room, you know. You can maybe see a little bit from it, but you know, hey, that light's over by the kitchen sink. I don't want to walk that way because I will slam into some chairs. Think about those who looked up at the star trying to find out where Jesus was, right? Light can guide us. Over in Psalm 43 and verse 3, we find this incredible spiritual comparison. There the psalmist writes, "Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell." The point is, God's word is truth. It is the light we need, and Jesus is that light and the truth. Again, light does a lot of things that we can find spiritual connections to. But why does Jesus call himself the light, and why at this particular time? In other words, what's the connection between Jesus and the light in our text? Well, you'll remember that last week we talked about how Jesus was the bread of life in John chapter 6. And we saw a clear connection to the manna that God supplied during the 40 years of the Exodus in the wilderness wanderings, right? The manna that came down from heaven. And now they wanted Jesus to do another miracle and give us some more bread, right? You remember all that. Well, just before our main text in John chapter 8, but in John chapter 7, we find Jesus in the temple courts, and we discover this is during the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, part of the feast involves the pouring out of water onto the ground, commemorating the water that came out of the rock in Numbers 17. Now, what we have to picture is that while the people are watching this water pour out and splash all over the rocks in the temple, is that Jesus stands up and proclaims in a loud voice in John 7, 37 and 38, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Now here in John chapter 8, Jesus says that he is the light of the world. And so in the context of the Feast of Tabernacles, when Jesus says that, the people are thinking about the pillar of fire that led God's people during the Exodus. Same as the manna, same as the water pouring out. These are all symbols that happened during the Feast of Tabernacles. And so when Jesus says that he is the light, the people, of course, at that time are thinking about this pillar of fire that led God's people during the Exodus. Again, Jesus deliberately made the connection with himself and these three wilderness images in three consecutive chapters in order to tell them and us who he is. Jesus is the bread of life, Jesus is the water of life, and Jesus is the light of life. Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about the Feast of Tabernacles and this incredible way that Jesus shared this truth. It's my understanding that during the Feast of Tabernacles, there are what we might call giant candelabras. There are menorahs, sort of, but not like the ones in the temple area, okay, the very temple area. And they stand really, really high. I don't know, someone said they're like, you know, 50, 75 feet high, okay? Anyway, they're so bright that they light up the entire temple area and much of Jerusalem. And what this light was supposed to do was to remind the Israelites of God's glory, of his dwelling among men, of his Shekinah that had once filled the temple. Another thing that the feast focused on was the promise of God to send the light, the anointed one, the Messiah, who would one day deliver them from darkness and despair. And of this promised Messiah, we read this over in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. "The people walking in the darkness have seen a great light," prophetic of the Messiah to come. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Jesus is that light. And so, when it comes to the last day of the feast, Jesus proclaims in John chapter 8 and verse 12 that I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now again, what's amazing about the timing of Jesus' declaration is that as the celebration wraps up, this is the last day of the feast, you see. All those lights that were lit before are put out. And so when those lights are put out, they put it out because they believe that God has not set the promised Messiah yet. So they put them out. So as the temple grows dark and the tents are being taken down from the feast, Jesus stands up and makes this magnificent declaration, says, I am the light. I am the Messiah that you're waiting for. Jesus is the light of the world. Okay. Well, how does that help you and me? Well, let's talk about that some. Let's talk about how light works in our life. And when it comes to Jesus speaking to the people about the light, about the truth, we find a good amount of repetition. And that's a good thing. Repetition is a good thing. In other words, Jesus never gives up on talking about the kingdom of God to people. He never gives up on people. Remember, people give up on him, right? Jesus never gives up on seeking to save the lost. There are just some people that refuse to be saved. And that's confusing to me, maybe to you too. But you know people like that. Just think about who he spoke to so far in John chapter 8 alone. Earlier in John chapter 8, a text that we did not cover because it's not really applicable is Jesus' interaction with the woman caught in adultery, right? And so far he's spoken to the sexual sinner and also to the lost legalist in the text that we're talking about right now, all in the same chapter. And he's ready to talk to those kinds of people again and again and again and again. And that's because Jesus loves to give us an opportunity to accept him. Just think about your own spiritual journey and how you got where you are right now. How many times did you have to hear the gospel before you believed and were baptized? 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 20, 100? The thing is, we don't have unlimited opportunities. There will eventually come a time when it will be too late. But here in John chapter 8, we see that three times, once in verse 21 and twice in verse 24, that Jesus tells the Pharisees that they will die in their sins. He's giving them the warning that if they don't believe in him, they will die in their sins. Think about it. It's no accident that he was there sharing that truth with them. And it's no accident that you're here today. Today could be the last chance that you have to share this truth with somebody else. Again, in the light of Jesus, we find repetition. We also find redemption. We're talking about repetition. We'll get to redemption. We also find revelation, okay? We discover revelation. That is that Jesus is the revealed Messiah, and he in turn reveals the Word of God to us as the revealed Word of God. There's so much revelation happening on it, it's incredible, right? He reveals the Word of God as the revealed Word of God, speaking and living the Word of God as he reveals it to us. There's so much revelation there. Isaiah speaks of Jesus as the revelation that we need back in Isaiah chapter 42 and verses 6 and 7 when he writes, I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to rescue from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. If that sounds familiar, that's what Jesus told John's disciples to go back and tell John the Baptist, hey, I'm the Messiah. I'm the revealed one. The light of the world also provides redemption, as I already kind of gave you spoilers to, right? Again, back in John chapter 8 and verse 12, when Jesus proclaims, I am the light of the world, and then he adds, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Again, think about that. You think about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he, gave his one and only son, the world, right? And over in Luke 19:10, that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Jesus came in order to redeem us, in order to save us. He died for the sins of everyone. So no matter what we've done or where we are right now, you can be forgiven if you trust and obey. Over in Colossians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14, Paul puts it this way. He says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And a part of that process, of course, of redemption involves something else that the light of the world does. It leads us to repent. And that repentance might be our initial turning away from sin toward Christ, leading us to baptism, Acts 2:38. Or it might be that a Christian has been struggling spiritually. And so they've been living more in the dark than in the light. And if that's the case, then it's time to turn the lights on, right? It's time to repent. Here's what God has to say to the struggling Christian over in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In other words, he's saying, you were once in darkness, you once lived that way, but now you're a Christian. Why are you living in the dark now? Live in the light because you're light. Walk as children of light. Live as children of light. Okay? And so the need to repent is there. Once we find ourselves walking as children of the light and the light of Christ, then we see results. And according to what Jesus said back in John 12, following him will result in you not walking in darkness and having the light of life. So think about that. You just won't see the light, although I do like that song.
I saw the light.
Okay. But you will have the light. And why is that important? Well, again, look at what Jesus says over in John chapter 12 that Jesse read some for us today. John 12 and verse 35, Jesus told them, you're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in dark does not know where he's going. Story goes that a boy once heard his Sunday school teacher say that Jesus was the light of the world. After class, he went up to his teacher and he said, if Jesus is really the light of the world, I wish he'd come hang out at my house because it's awfully dark there. Hopefully, that just is his electricity and not the spiritual environment he's in. But we know children living in those conditions, don't we? Think about it. You could live in the light or you could live in despair in the dark. So you need to ask yourself, is it dark where you live? Well, you could change that, right? By embracing the light of life. Okay, just one more, especially if you're following along your sermon notes, you say, he's close to the end. One more. With being Jesus as the light of the world, he calls you and me as his followers to reflect his light. Over in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 through 16, Jesus tells his disciples, this little light of mine, Jesus tells his disciples, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, he says in verse 16, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Think about it again. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light of life. But the only way that the light truly shines in this world of darkness today is through the revealed word of God and by those of us who reflect his light to those around us by our lives and by our speech, by what we do, what we say, illuminating those in the darkness so that they, you know, that they might see and choose to live in the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Okay, as we wrap things up a little bit this morning, I thought we would reflect on some of those things that might keep us from being bright lights for Christ. Okay. First, only two things really, so don't think we're going past noon, okay? First, this is an early time now, right? So we're nowhere near noon. Maybe. No. First, stop covering your light. Like Jesus talked about in Matthew 5:15. In other words, you know, are you doing something that is snuffing out the light of Christ in your life? Are you somewhat ashamed sometimes so you hide the light? You know, if you're covering it somehow or in some way, quit it. Repent of whatever it is that's causing you to dull your shine. Second, make sure that you're plugged into the power source. Think about it. You know, if you have trouble, you see, you ever get a brownout? You know what that is when lights go, whoom, you know. They go out, but they come right back on. That's a brownout, okay? Of course, power out's totally different, right? And we've seen that happen too. But think about it. You know, some people are just not bright enough lights for Christ because they've gone ahead and unplugged from the power source. Or maybe the plug is loose, you know? The power is still there. God is still there. In other words, they no longer make the effort to, I don't know, let's say attend assembly or a study, or they've quit reading the Bible, or they've given up on prayer. And you say, but what about COVID-19? And I'll say that's not an excuse, because there are plenty of online options. There are plenty of options that you could do yourself. But using that as an excuse to dim your light, not a very good excuse. Think about the first century. Think about Roman persecution, Christians having to go underground, being killed for saying they're a Christian. They didn't use it as an excuse. They live for Christ and they shine bright. Still, there are those who are somewhat dim. Maybe they've slacked off or they've given up. Obviously, you're here, so you haven't given up, but we know those people. Need to let our light shine and be bright to help lead them back to the light, to the power source, to get back plugged in, you know? If you're feeling a little dim, get yourself powered up, plug in, check that connection, you know, so that we can be the lights of Christ that he has called us to be. Here's something that might help. The next time you see a bright light, maybe you're driving at night and go, wow, that's bright. I'm getting old. No, wow, that's brighter. You look up at the sun, say, hey, don't look at the sun. Okay, that's bad. Okay, you see a bright light is the point, right? When you see that bright light, you think, that is a bright light. Am I shining as bright as that? Am I plugged into Christ? You know, am I shining bright for him today? Prayerfully, we all are. And if you're struggling with the darkness, just remember that Christ can dispel the darkness with his light. And so if you're living in the light of Christ, great. But if you're not, and living in the light of Christ sounds like something you want to do, well, then you really need to. And it starts with believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon your trust in him, to turn to him in repentance, confessing him as Lord and Savior, and then committing yourself to him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And then rising up out of the water, well, you continue to live your life for him, walking in the light until Jesus comes back again, or you go to be with him. And for those of us who are already walking in the light, might we do our best to let that light shine brightly, you know, so that others might give glory to God, so that we can give glory to God. Again, if anyone has a need to come forward this morning, whether it is to share or to seek prayer or to become a Christian for the very first time, you're always encouraged to come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.